Generally speaking, the laws of the state where the policy is issued is going to determine the rights and remedies under that policy. The policy will generally have a, and this is for the personal auto policies, will generally have a provision that requires coverage that complies with the state where the vehicle is being operated. So if you've got a Michigan car that's driving down to the Texas coast and they're in Texas and have a wreck, most of these policies are going to require that they meet the minimum limits of the state. And believe it or not, Texas, the last time I checked, was about third in the country as far as high limits go. Most states have lower than we do. Unfortunately, this does not apply to uninsured motorist coverage. There's usually nothing, at least any policy that I've looked at, anything that requires them to match the UM laws of the state where they're being operated in. So there's no UM coverage, even though Texas requires it absent a waiver. There's nothing that I've ever seen that would require the out-of-state policy to add that into. I'm going to talk briefly about Stowers, and I'm say briefly because Mark Tyser is going to talk about it tomorrow, and Mark is a guru on the subject, so he's going to cover it thoroughly, and I'm going to limit most of what I say into the auto policy context. Stowers Furniture is a 1929 case. It basically said the insurance companies turned down a demand within their policy limits at some risk because they're the agent for the insured in that context. So this is what our experience is. We write, as plaintiff's lawyers, we write a reasonable demand and send it to one of these fine folks that defend these insurance companies, and we usually get a response something like this.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
You can see how upset our client looks right here. So these are the elements of Stowers. The claim has to be within the coverage. It has to be within the policy limit. The offer to settle must be unconditional, and a reasonable carrier would pay the demand in order to protect the insured from an excess judgment. I'm going to unpack this just a little bit. Claim within coverage, that's separate and apart from claim within policy limit. The claim that we make has got to be covered. We looked earlier at the split on punitive damages within the standard auto policy. My suggestion would be if we're writing a Stowers on an auto policy that we don't include punitive damages. If for some reason the court looking at our demand and our Stowers action later says we don't think that was covered, we're kicked out. And there's no margin of error in the Stowers demand. Policy limit is pretty self-explanatory. We don't have to know the policy limit. We can simply say we want the policy limits. APIA versus Garcia says that's okay. Unconditional offer to settle. Mark has got a lot to say about this, and so I'm going to defer to him on what will screw our letter up. A reasonable carrier, if there are any, would pay the demand in order to protect its insured from an excess judgment. That last element is important because the Stowers action belongs to the insured. I know it's tempting as plaintiff's lawyers to go, oh, they blew the Stowers demand, now we have unlimited coverage. Well, we don't have unlimited coverage. What the insured has is a right to look at his carrier and say, you should have settled or not. One tip I want to share with you is if you end up in that favorable position where you have an excess judgment, then typically we have gone to turnovers or assignments. Don't do that. Keep the defendant in the case with you. If you've got somebody you can work with, an attorney on the other side you can work with, keep the defendant in the case because they have some rights that we don't have as plaintiffs or as a judgment creditor against them. As a judgment creditor under Stowers, we have a right to the judgment if we turn it over. They have rights under the insurance code that they can't assign. There's recent case law on this. For a while we thought they could, but they can't. And so we keep a lot more pressure on the insurance company to come to terms if we keep the defendant in the lawsuit with us. Since the cause of action belongs to the insured, they can screw it up. And here's a couple of ways they can do it. This is the Thomas case out of San Antonio. I don't want my insurance company to pay that terrible plaintiff. I told them I didn't want them to settle. They didn't settle. I'm glad they didn't settle. That screws up Stowers, because the Stowers action is the insured's. If he doesn't have a complaint, there's no complaint out there. Filing for bankruptcy, what do I care about a judgment? Well, that's the N. Ray Davis case out of the Fifth Circuit. There's some nuance to that case, so I don't think that absolutely shuts the door on Stowers, but it's certainly a complication. Statute of limitations is 2 years on the Stowers. It can be 2 years from the date of judgment or 2 years from the date the appeal becomes final. Certainly the latter makes more sense. You don't want to pursue the case if it's going to be taken from, if the judgment's going to disappear on you anyway. Most of this I'm going to leave for Mark, but the letter, my biggest advice on that is keep it simple. Every word we put in the Stowers letter is an opportunity to find either a condition or ambiguity, both of which are fatal. And Mark will talk more about that. There is a sample letter in my paper that is illustrative of that, but make your own letter. I mean, every case is different, and I don't think I've ever repeated the same letter in two cases. Multiple policies, again, going to defer to Mark on this, but it complicates the picture. If we have multiple policies, let me get to AFCO, because AFCO is sort of the poster child for